Welcome back to the Finsiders on this Dolphins Monday. A victory Monday for this team as they look back at a 20-16 win over the San Diego Chargers. Time now for the Joe Philbin Show, presented by EverBank, your home for banking, lending, and investing. Coach, thanks for coming in and chatting after another hard-fought win yesterday afternoon. I'll say this, the fans at Sun Life Stadium have not been cheated out of excitement late in games this season.
I think they're getting their money's worth. I mean, I hope they can pay for some of my blood pressure medication
that's right.
I'm going to need. But, yeah, we've been playing five close games at home, no doubt.
It's been a lot of fun, obviously, especially the ones that end like yesterday with a victory. This team, though, you could tell last week, listening to the players, it was a focused team. And that's not an easy thing, necessarily. It's not an automatic thing. At this point in the season, and with everything else going around, how do we keep everybody's heads screwed on straight, I guess, for lack of a better term?
Well, first and foremost, as we've said all along, we've got a good group of men in the locker room, number one. Number two, they're very, very professional. I thought we had a good week of practice. You know, they were very detailed in their preparation. You know, Steve Ross came down one day at practice, spoke to the ball club. I think that helped their frame of mind as well. And, you know, we talked to them about the opportunity that exists. The NFL is a long season. There's you can't look at the last game. You got to move on to the next game. You got to learn from the last game and keep pushing forward. And I thought our guys did that.
All right, let's talk some X's and O's. The offensive line, a huge topic of conversation for a million and one reasons the last few weeks. But yesterday, another wrinkle. Mike Pouncey unavailable to go. He was out of the game with an illness. And so guys like Nate Garner and Sam Brenner and Danny Watkins played some snaps, all stepping in. And again, you know, I think we said this earlier, I'm sure on tape it wasn't 100% perfect or anything like that, but certainly a nice job by those guys yesterday.
Yeah, I think you have to credit, you know, Jimmy Turner and Mike Sherman and those guys for getting the group ready and making transition and getting different guys in different spots without hurting the play call and the productivity. It's hard as a coordinator to, you know, shift gears and have two totally different game plans when you're attacking a team schematically. And so I thought the best credit you can give to those guys was they didn't have to alter Mike's play calling a whole lot.
And some of the credit, Coach, you can give to the players in that football game because of their discipline. Only three penalties for 15 yards, and San Diego on the other side had 10 penalties. I want to ask you about the end of the game scenarios when Ryan Tannehill and guys like Brian Hartline stay in bounds and keep that clock running. Is that something you go over during the week and before you go onto the field in those situations?
Oh, yeah, and that's, you know, those quote, four-minute situations that you're talking about, John. I mean, one of the things Mike does on his Saturday meetings is he kind of covers all the unique situations that may occur in the game. You know, maybe the last play of the game where, you know, the Hail Mary type plays and the four-minute plays, the two-minute, you know, talking about in two-minute getting the ball to the referee and 4 minutes staying in bounds, staying on the ground as long as you possibly can. Those are all quick bullet reminders that we give the players every single week.
Some of the things you can't go over are the game-changing plays, and they just have to happen. And guys like Brent Grimes, who ended up getting his third interception of the season, seems to be getting a knack for coming up with big plays at big times. That has to make all of you guys kind of rest easy on the sidelines when you see those plays happen.
Yeah, well, they were moving the ball well, and Brent came up with that big play early in the game, and then obviously the last play of the game. And throughout the course of the game, we thought his coverage overall was really tight. There was, you know, one pass I think Keenan Allen caught that if the ball – it was actually a little behind.
He had position on him.
Yeah, if it was a well-thrown ball, we probably would have knocked it down. But, you know, overall, we thought he played well.
Speaking of big plays, big play Clay showed up again yesterday. Charles Clay, the 39-yard touchdown. We've heard you talk about, we've talked about a lot in recent weeks. Sometimes it's just got to be an individual effort. A guy's got to go out there and make a play, and that's exactly what happened on that 39-yard touchdown.
Well, we tell the team all the time, you know, those explosive plays, so to speak, they result, number one, you got to have good execution, which we had on that play. It wasn't a complicated play or a long pass, but then the second thing you have to have is you have to have extra effort. You got to, you know, you got to, if you're a receiver or a ball carrier, sometimes you got to break tackles on your own. We're not going to be able to get a hat on every single player, and plays aren't always blocked perfectly in the National Football League. And those explosive plays that we need to generate more of as an offense, sometimes you got to, like you said, you got to just step up and make them.
Daniel Thomas, also a guy that made some plays yesterday, a big part of the win, 10 carries, 57 yards, and that nice one-yard touchdown over the top. He got a bulk of the carries, or the bulk of the carries yesterday. Was that a function of the game plan? Was that riding the hot hand? How were those kinds of things decided?
It was a little bit of timing, too. It was a little bit of everything, Jesse. Some of it was the plan. You know, at times we have specific runs for each back that we have on the offense. But at the other point in time, sometimes, like you said, if a guy's running hot, you know, sometimes you give him the ball a little bit more, and then it was sometimes it was just a sequence of when we were running the ball when he was in, as opposed to when Lamar was in. Sometimes we were passing it more.
Coach, sometimes when you play elite quarterbacks in this league, you have to make plays at critical times, and it seemed like the defensive front, Cam Wake and J.O. and Olivier Vernon, they came up with sacks at critical times in the game to really get you guys changing the momentum and get you guys off the field defensively.
You know, John, I thought in the first half, they kind of their tempo seemed to be better than ours up front. You know, not that we were playing poorly on defense, because the only touchdown we gave up was after the turnover. I think it was a 51-yard drive. But they just kind of, I don't know, the sense that I had on the field was that they were kind of getting the upper hand, you know, pushing us back a little bit, and we just didn't seem to have that great speed. But the second half, I thought it really changed, and some of those big sacks that you were talking about, the guys stepped up. You kind of felt the juice and the energy a little bit in the second half
more. Yeah, it looked like it when they were rushing the passer. Mm-hmm. And one thing that probably you'll watch the tape and want to get corrected going into next week against Carolina is maybe the run defense. And I'm not sure if it was the fits or the angles, but it was one of those things that you need to get corrected probably as you watch the tape going into next week.
I think you hit them both. You hit them both, John. You know, the fits, especially on that long 51-yard run. We felt we had a pretty good defense called into that formation that they had. They were running an outside zone play. They did a good job at the point of attack, and we actually kind of had one player over pursue and the other one kind of playing a little bit slow, and lo and behold, you got a crease, and the next thing you know, you got a 51-yard run. But, you know, you can't have, you know, you can play great run defense for 20 snaps and they're averaging, you know, 2 yards a carry, but then they bust a 51-yard. They all count, you know, so they're all, it's cumulative, and we have to do a better job eliminating those big runs.
The nice thing, of course, about that run, I guess, is the way the defense responded after the 51-yard run. I know Kevin Coyle doesn't like people saying bend but don't break, but that's kind of what happened again in that situation. Almost come up with the interception on third down, but you force a field goal. That kind of feels like a win almost for the defense after the long run.
Yeah. I think the red zone, San Diego, one of the things they hadn't been great at coming in was the red zone. And our guys have been getting better and better and better as the year's gone on defensively playing in the red zone. So, you know, that stand right there and the sack that we had on the third down to kick them out of, you know, knock them out of field goal range. I mean, those are huge plays in the game.
Coach, back on the offensive side, it seemed like Ryan Tannehill in the beginning of that football game really spread it, the football out. And it was nice to see because you went tight end, running back, wide out, you know, down the field, hook routes. It seemed like the game plan was maybe to spread the football out early and then maybe go with the hot hand as you went along. I'm not sure if that was right, but it seemed that way in the beginning of the game.
Yeah, I thought that first drive, and specifically in the first drive, and throughout most of the first half, you know, Mike did a good job of mixing up the personnel groups, number one. As you know, we had some different formations, which allowed us sometimes, we, you know, once or twice, I think we were in empty, and then we were in two back, and we kind of jumped in and out of different formations, and were able to, as you mentioned, distribute the ball to different guys, which, I, you know, is always a benefit.
Let's turn our attention now to this coming Sunday against the Carolina Panthers. Back-to-back Sunday games for the Dolphins. Feels like it's been a long time since that has been the case. When you discuss Carolina, and of course they'll be in action tonight at home against New England, I think in a broad sense you start with the quarterback and you start with the defense with the way those two units and guys, I guess, have been playing. What have we seen this year from Cam Newton? Last year, I know his second year was a little bit of a struggle. He got hot late, but he's been very well received, I think, this season. What has the tape shown us?
He's making better decisions, I think, this season. He can make all the throws. That's not an issue with him. And then, you know, he's got the ability to extend plays. So he's playing very, very well. And we're going to need to, you know, be at the top of our game as from a defensive perspective to, you know, contain him and force them to kind of, you know, use his arm more than his feet. And he's as we know, he's got multi-dimensional as a fancy term. But the guy can run and he can throw. So, you know, that presents unique challenges to us as a defense. But he's playing very well.
And on the other side of the football, coach, they're a defense that has really only allowed 115 points this season. They're number one in the NFL, and Luke Kuechly in the middle seems to have a knack for getting to the football. That will be a specific challenge in trying to score points and trying to stay on the field offensively.
As you mentioned, I mean, point, you know, total offense is great, total defense is great, but points are what really matters in football, and nobody's done it better than them from a defensive side of the ball. So As you said, offensively, we're going to need to be playing very, very well. And as we're going to tell our guys when we begin, you know, our preparations in earnest for this game is, you know, it's going to be November 24th, and we're getting to the point in the season where, you know, you have aspirations, you have ambitions, you've got to step up your game in late November and December.
It always comes down to matchups, and it's not always the 6'4 guys, 225-pound guys that make a difference on the outside. When you have a guy like Steve Smith for Carolina going up against maybe Brent Grimes, kind of the same stature of guys, not huge guys, but guys that play huge for their teams.
He's had a ton of production for, again, I don't even know how many years, but it seems like he's been there forever.
A long time.
It seems like he's been making plays forever. Different types of plays down the field, in between the numbers, screens, you know, you name it. He seems to be a guy that can he can make all run all the routes and compete for the ball and make a difference for his team. So, you know, we're going to have our radar up against him.
All right, head coach Joe Philbin is here. Time for a couple fan questions that came in on Twitter earlier today. We'll start with Darren. He liked seeing Marcus Thigpen's carry on the end around that went for 9 yards, and he wants to know any chance of more involvement for Marcus Thigpen in the running game.
Oh, if he wants, absolutely. you know, Marcus is a guy that, you know, he's got a lot of different skills. We've used him here and there in the passing game. Kind of, you know, we've, you know, used him sparingly, I guess would be the accurate word. So, you know, all game plans are kind of week-to-week basis and who can help us the most and what group can help us the most. So certainly there's a possibility.
All right, Tom on Twitter, looking at the standings, I guess, as a lot of fans are, the Dolphins 5-5. And I think, and this might not be totally right, but off the top of my head, 13 teams in the AFC, either 4-6 or 5-5 right now. And all in the mix, obviously, for a wild card spot. So Tom wants to know what you say to the team about the playoffs with the AFC looking the way it does right now.
Beat Carolina. You know, those things have a way of working themselves out if you're playing well and, you know, at the end of the night, the scoreboard's in your favor. All that other stuff kind of takes care of itself. If your focus is on the standings as opposed to the fundamentals and the execution and the effort and the teamwork, you can kind of get off track and get caught up with what everybody else is doing. At the end of the day, we have one football game to play on Sunday. I'm sure the other 12 teams who are 5-5 or 4-6, they have games too, but we can't do anything about those games. So, you know, we just gotta stay hungry, stay at work, and get ourselves ready to play.
Simple message, and it makes sense. Beat Carolina. What else can you do if you're the Miami Dolphins? Coach, appreciate it as always. It's the Joe Philbin Show presented by EverBank, your home for banking, lending, and investing. Have a great week getting ready for Carolina.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.